ACB Radio Mainstream is always looking for new and innovative programming. But in 2002, they found me. I'm Dave Williams here in Preston, where we're putting together ACB Radio Mainstream's newest program, The UK Connection. We start Thursdays at 1 GMT, that's Wednesday evenings in the States, with a mix of news, views and interviews. We're looking for your contributions as well, so drop us a line, dave@acbradio.org, that's dave@acbradio.org, or you can pick up the phone and call the UK on 44700 533 8876. That's 44700 533 8876. The UK Connection.
Don't you think he sounds tired?
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe@acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Or visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
ACB Radio.
The following is an ACB Radio Mainstream exclusive. Mark Hotel in Houston, Texas. ACB Radio Mainstream brings you coverage of the 41st Convention of the American Council of the Blind. Now, here's Jonathan Mosen.
And a very good evening to you from Houston, Texas, where we're broadcasting for the first time on the internet the Candidates Forum. It's sponsored by the Board of Publications, the arm that looks after, well, publications of the American Council of the Blind, such things as the website, the Braille Forum, and of course ACB Radio. The Forum is an event that's happened for the last few years, and the Board of Publications has been increasingly looking for ways to inform people about the election process using internet technology. The Board of Publications has a candidates page that was put up on the website, and candidates who declared early enough were able to answer a series of questions about why they are seeking office. That was complemented by a debate that was recently held on ACB Radio Mainstream. And now the forum, a chance for people who come to convention to hear the candidates in person. This year, elections are taking place for the Board of Publications and the Board of Directors. To the best of my knowledge, there are three candidates for three positions in the Board of Publications. Charlie Hodge, who was seeking election, has been appointed the chair of the Board of Publications. That is the prerogative of the President, and the President made that appointment just prior to convention, and the appointment was announced at convention. So he is no longer seeking a position. And we will go through, of course, the candidates. Jay Dardner is the compere tonight, and he will be going through the format in just a moment. Now, I'd like to just acknowledge a very special message, and we've received lots of very kind messages, and most of them complimentary, and we really appreciate people taking the trouble to do that via convention at acbradio.org on the MSC Messenger and the email. And we received a particularly encouraging and heartwarming message from a couple of people who will be no stranger to ACB radio listeners and also ACB conventioners, Virginia and Adrian Dublay, and due to hip replacements they're unable to be here this year. I'm not sure which one of them has had a hip replacement, but they have been unable to attend convention, and they sent a very nice message saying that tuning into ACB Radio Mainstream for the convention coverage is just like being there, except that they've got more comfortable seats. So enjoy those comfy seats, and thank you both very much for writing. And it's fantastic to know that you're able to keep up with what is happening here at convention through ACB Radio Mainstream. I expect we'll be getting underway soon. We're running a little late, but the room is still filling up. People are coming in from the restaurant where things are particularly busy over there. Managed to get down a very nice bit of calamari, actually. One of the appetizers. And dash off here to do the broadcast. So I'll just remind you that tomorrow it's a busy day of live programming on ACB Radio Mainstream, commencing at around about 8 a.m. Central Time. That's 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, and of course 1300 hours Universal Time. A new approach is being taken this year as a bit of an experiment, and ACB is going to attempt to complete its general session business tomorrow instead of extending into Saturday, although they reserve the right to go into Saturday if necessary. That means that tomorrow we'll be coming back at 8:30. The big event of the morning will be the elections for the Board of Publications and the Board of Directors. At around about 10:15 or so there will be a break, and then we'll come back and continue until midday. Then we will take a break for lunch from midday till 1:30, and then we're back for more general business, which will include resolutions from the Resolutions Committee, and I think there is still one issue to deal with from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee that was tabled today and will be voted on tomorrow. I haven't been able to find out what the resolutions are like in terms of their quantity this year, so I don't know whether it's realistic to expect that the business will be completed. People do seem pretty optimistic, though, that business will conclude tomorrow. So I guess we'll just have to see how contentious any of those things are. And then tomorrow evening, it's banquet time. A time when, because hopefully business will be concluded, it'll be a time of celebration. People getting together for one last time, their work done before heading home. Although there are some activities planned for Saturday, including the legislative seminar.
Almost, Jonathan.
Okay. The question is, what's he done with the microphone?
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2,
okay.
3, yes.
Okay. Including the legislative seminar. And the diabetes seminar. And now let's go to the candidates forum. Good evening, everybody. This is Jonathan Mosen from ACB Radio. Well, after that, I'm just sorry that I'm not a candidate. But I am here to introduce the compere for tonight's candidates forum. Thank you for attending. This is an important occasion where you'll have the opportunity to find out about who the candidates are and what they stand for. And to take us through that process, please welcome Jay Downer.
Thank you very much. And good evening, everybody, and good evening, world, because we are broadcasting live on ACB Radio. And I want to say also that, as Jonathan has mentioned, I think to all the ACB Radio listeners, many times today and yesterday, this is a first. This is the first time we've been ever able to do the Candidates Forum live, streamed, and that's partially because we're all in the Grand Ballroom tonight. Explain to everyone that this mic is going to cut out on me, is it? That's not going to work. I'll get another. Right. I want to explain to everyone that is here tonight, if people are coming in, it is cutting out. Hang on, I'm going to go to the other. I have to stay over on this side, I guess. Okay, there we go. Okay, now I've got another one, and after we get started, I'll trade another one. Okay, so I have a couple of rules, which I'll give you in a couple of minutes, but before we do that, the newly appointed BOP chairman is here, and that's Charlie Hodge, and Charlie has a word he wants to pass along to all of us. So here now is Charles Hodge, BOP chairman.
The Board of Publications welcomes all of you to this candidates forum. We have tried very hard to communicate in an even-handed fashion, nonpartisan, even-handed fashion, information about candidates for office in ACB over the past couple of years. This year we had a candidates web page, and for those candidates who made declarations by May 31st, their statements have been on our website. This forum tonight, you will see or you will hear from some candidates who did not make declarations and therefore did not have statements on the website, but who have come forward during this convention. And that's part of the ACB process, at least the current process. I'm a candidate on the website, but because Chris Gray, on Sunday night, the opening night of the convention, appointed me to fill out an unexpired appointed term as chairman, I informed the convention that I would not be a candidate for my elected seat on the Board of Publications, and therefore and will not be participating as a candidate tonight. So there's surprises on both sides of the coin in this forum. I will turn this back to Jay Doudna. Jay is a former appointed member of the Board of Publications who has run these forums over the past few years, has done them admirably, even-handedly, equitably, and the Board of Publications asked Jay to continue to be the MC and facilitator at these forums. And he will outline some ground rules for you, and then we'll get started. I'm turning this back now to former ACB Board of Publications chairman, member, Jay Doudna.
Thank you, Charlie. And thank you, everybody. We're really glad to see all of you here this evening. A couple of ground rules that we have are that we will allow no talking. If you have any conversations you wish to make, you can do them anywhere but in this room, because it's very important what we're doing here, and we want all the candidates to be heard. The second thing is that if you do have a cell phone, it would really be a good idea if you would turn it off, because that is distracting. We're going to do this in two parts tonight. We're going to first open with the BOP candidates for the Board of Publications, and we're going to try to spend probably about a half an hour with those people. And then from that, we are going to move on to the board candidates. Our timer this evening will be immediate past president of the American Council of the Blind and my good friend, Mr. Paul Edwards. And this is the way it's going to go. We're going to first hear opening statements from our candidates on the BOP. I guess I better get the other microphone here. They're not going to be making any statements, right? And these opening statements will be 2 minutes in length. Before I introduce the first person, I'd like to say that I received a phone call today from a representative of Linda Braithwaite. As you know, most of you who have been listening to ACB Radio and most of you who have been attending the general session and yesterday when Oral Miller announced it, you know that Linda Braithwaite was nominated by the nominating committee on Monday night. Linda announced at that time that she was not seeking that nomination, but at the last minute decided that when people prevailed upon her and told her that she would be a good candidate, that she decided to run. The nominating committee did vote her to be one of their nominees on the slate. Linda had not expected when she came to the convention to be running for the BOP, and so she had made a previous commitment to sing today in Boston in a national event that was taking place up there. And so she had to leave us yesterday and flew to Boston, and I haven't heard from her or anything, but I imagine she sang, and I'm sure sang very well, today in a 4th of July celebration in Boston, Massachusetts. But she wanted to let us know that it wasn't because of a lack of interest in the position. So I just needed to, in all fairness, make that a statement on her behalf. This evening, then, we have two other candidates who are nominated by the nominee committee and passed on a slate. The first of those two candidates is Mike Duke. And I'm going to now introduce Mike Duke for Board of Publications for a two-minute opening statement. Are you ready, Mr. Timer? Okay, Mr. Timer's ready, and here is Mr. Duke.
Hello, I am from Jackson, Mississippi, where I operate the Radio Reading Service of Mississippi and serve as its coordinator and program person. For 7 of the past 10 years, I have also edited the quarterly newsletter of the Mississippi Council of the Blind. For the years that I was not the editor in the past 10 years, I was the state president and delegated that job to other people. The Braille Forum is one of the most important and certainly most visible tools that ACB has. Not only does it reach our members, it has great potential for reaching a lot of prospective members and even non-members who sometimes need to be educated about the issues relating to blindness. And that's the main reason that it's so very important. Another thing that we must consider as the Board of Publication is that we on the Board of Publication are in many ways accountable for a significant portion of the budget of American Council of the Blind. So we must, as Board of Publications members, make responsible decisions, and I think that we have done so during my first term on the board, and that this certainly will continue as some new board members come into place this weekend, that the Board of Publications must carefully oversee
15
our
seconds
magazine so that it remains not only a tool, but of a very quality publication.
Thank you, Mike. In these opening statements, we'll give you a 15-second warning when you're coming toward that time. Is that okay with you guys? We'll do it that way. Give you some idea. Our next candidate is, and she was on the nominating slate, brought up from the nominating committee on Monday night, Ms. Winifred Downing. Winifred?
I come from San Francisco, California. I began attending American Council of the Blind conventions in the 1980s and was attracted right away by the Board of Publications because my preparation for my job as the years that I was working was in English. I was an English teacher, and I liked to write, liked to use words, think about what they could say. Fairly early in my career, I was happy to receive the Freeman Award, which is a writing award that the Board of Publications gives. I hadn't even realized there was a Freeman Award when I received it and didn't know what a great honor it was until we began with other people in later years. I had various positions in the California Council of the Blind as a president of a chapter and board member and so forth, so that I had preparation in the field of the organized blind and in the kinds of issues that we think about. As a member of the Board of Publications, early in the 4 years that I did serve, we interviewed the person who is now the editor of the Braille Forum, and that's one of the tasks of the Board of Publications, to interview people for the editorship and then recommend that person to the president. Subsequently, we also did the kinds of things that are connected with choosing the Freeman Award winner, chosen from the best articles that are published in the preceding year, and the Henley Award winner, chosen for a person in the public media or an organization that does something that that explains particularly the kinds of attitudes that we hope people will have toward blindness. My job the last year has been particularly interesting because I have attended the board meetings of the American Council of the Blind and their conference calls and have taken enough notes from them to render to our readership a knowledge of what goes on in the board and in terms that they would understand. I will be happy if people vote for me.
Thank you, Winifred, very much. We have now a candidate that is running for office who was not part of the nominating committee's slate, but is here tonight to speak on his behalf of running for the Board of Publications, Mr. Ken Stewart.
Hi. Ken Stewart from New York and immediate past president of CCLVI. I know there's some people in the room that are surprised to see me sitting up here among the candidates, and I'm one of them. The short history of my candidacy is this, that Sunday evening when the nominations committee learned at short notice that they had a third vacancy because of the elevation of Charlie Hodge, three different members of the committee told me later that they considered me, but not having gotten my permission ahead of time, they were not allowed to put my name in nomination. Well, the next several days they did check with me, and in addition to being very flattered, I thought immediately, wow, that would be a great opportunity for me to make another contribution to ACB. I do have a passion for writing. I write in many different venues. I've also done a lot of editing over the years, and I love that too. I've had a play produced, in New York one-act play. I've written many times in the Braille Forum and was quite honored in 2000 to win the Ned E. Freeman Writers Award. I have a regular column in Dialogue, some of you know, called a silly little thing called Fuzzy Thoughts. I've written for Vision Access. I try to get the issues of the disabilities community before the general public by sending letters to the editor to mainstream publications too. And as most freelance writers know, you don't make much money writing, so I have a real income producing career too. I'm an arbitrator and a hearing officer, and of course that calls for an objectivity and an ability to reserve judgment and collect facts before drawing conclusions, and I have a hunch that I'll be able to call on those skills too many times, and if I am fortunate enough to be elected to the Board of Publications. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken, very much. And those are the candidates for the Board of Publications this year. As I mentioned, Linda Braithwaite is unable to be here. Now, here's what we do. I have a couple of questions that were submitted to the press room. And remember, there was a deadline for submission of questions, and that was Wednesday afternoon by noon. And we have a couple of questions that were submitted, and I'm going to use those as the basis for any other questions anybody from the audience might have. I'll start with one, and now we get to the point where I'll explain how we're going to handle these questions that come from the audience. If you have a question that you'd like to ask of the BOP within the time limit that we have, we probably have another 15 minutes or so, you can come out to the end of the aisle, the end of this row where you are, and stand in the aisle, and I'll kind of keep watch of who comes in what order. Hopefully I can do that. And we'll try to get as many questions in as we can. But to start the ball rolling for our first question, while you think about what you might want to ask the BOP, what three things would you change? Wait. Long question.
My socks?
Yeah. That's fine. My socks is the right answer. Thank you very much. How can ACB sustain or maintain its current level of publications or communications projects in an era of tight financial resources? Toughy, huh? Which one of our candidates would like to tackle that one first? I don't see all the hands shooting up at once. Oh, there goes Winifred. She has it.
I suppose that the first way to do it is to think about what people need us most. And I think the group that needs us most are young children who now are children with multi-handicaps mainly, in addition to fine as they have others, and older people who are losing their sight after 50. If we try to address the programs that concern children and older people, we will have a basis on which we can ask for funding from private agencies, from philanthropic funds, and that sort of thing. So that would be my suggestion.
Thank you, Winifred. All right. I did one thing. I'm slipping. One thing I did mention is that we're going to give each candidate to answer a one-minute time limit. And Paul, can you all hear Paul okay? And Paul is going to be giving you 15 seconds so you know when it's coming to the end. Anybody else want to answer that question?
Sure. This is Ken Stewart. Three things occurred to me immediately. One is hard-nosed business practices. I know from our experience with Vision Access that there's a wide range of production charges you can get at various places. So we've got to look closely almost constantly figure out how to get things done with high quality at the lowest price. The second is to be tuned into the consumers. What's most important and what's least important to our audience to figure out, are we meeting their needs and are there some things we're doing that we can shift to other needs? And the other is to be aware of what else is going on in the publications field to minimize overlap and be sure that we're meeting the niches that appear between other publications. So there's no duplication and we don't need to reinvent the wheel. Thanks.
All right, Ken. Mike?
This is Mike Duke. The problem with answering these questions last is they got all answers. But we must also seek ways to enhance the funding so that whatever our communications projects and publications are and whatever the media, that these things may continue and thrive during some tough economic times. And there's no doubt that the times are a little bit tough financially for not only ACB but for most of the nonprofit segment. So we have to look at grants. We have to look at multiplying our Braille Forum subscriptions for the people who aren't members but yet who choose to subscribe to the magazine. We have to market that. And we have to look at bringing in some money any way that we possibly can.
Thank you, Mike. Well, I've checked in the audience. I just walked out through the aisle, and there's nobody standing there ready to ask a question. But have no fear. I am here with another question. Oh, we have one. Oh, they came out. We're coming. No, I'm coming to you. Come on out to the aisle here, please. Come out to me.
Okay, coming. They told me to go this way.
I found an empty mic stand.
Jay.
Right here.
We have asked many times to...
Yeah, you have to introduce yourself.
Oh, Dolores Coombs from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We have written many times to Washington office asking for only one copy of the Braille Forum. And we ask for it in Braille, which is the most expensive way to produce it. But if more attention was paid to the subscription list, the cost would go down. Thank you.
That's a statement? That's not a question? Okay, well then I'm going to make it in the form of a question.
We all agree, if I may answer that.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
This is Mike. We all agree, and as a matter of fact, the issue came up in Sunday's Board of Publications meeting, and the board at that time has directed the office to begin a second purge of the list, and I say a second purge because it was purged about 2 years ago. So between now and the end of November, you will receive a card, and it will be a Braille print card, multimedia card, on which you're asked to indicate which format you wish to continue receiving. If you're receiving more than one issue, do you need it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be addressed between now and the end of November.
Wynn, do you want to comment, or Ken? You pretty much all agree with us? Go ahead.
I'm looking for the microphone. yes, that's true. We have to keep in mind budgetary considerations, but we do meet about the forum frequently. Every time we have a Board of Publications meeting, we talk about the forum, its length, the kinds of articles that are in it, and so forth. And we're very glad to have input from the people who receive it. We have letters to the editor column now, and we have articles about all sorts of things. I'm constantly amazed at the breadth of material that the editor gets into the forum. So we hope that it will continue to serve people as we want it to.
Looks like Ken is going to comment
also. Ken Stewart, yes, I certainly agree. And again, as I said earlier, I think it's very important for any publication to keep a very close interactive relationship with its consumers. Thanks.
All right, we have another question from the audience.
This is Michael Byington, and my question is, the Board of Publications of ACB has more autonomy in the way it was created from the rest of the organization than is usual for a lot of organizations. Please explain your understanding of the historical factors that led to that being the case and what we should be learning from that in operation of the Board of Publications of today. Thank you.
Understand the question? All right, we have 1 minute answers coming first from Winifred.
Way back in 1965, the Board of Publications was created as a result of the kind of friction that developed between the National Federation of the Blind and the American Council in its beginning years. In its beginning years, the American Council felt that the National Federation publications did not reflect what was really going on and didn't give truthful copies of the correspondences that existed at that time. So it built into the American Council of the Blind the Board of Publications to act as a kind of liaison between the board and the officers on the one hand and the members on the other, so that the members would get an unvarnished, we feel, impression of what was going on.
Okay, anybody else want to answer that one? Looks like Ken's up.
I'm reminded of the general mainstream publications. I read many, many magazines on audio cassette, thanks to NLS. Some of the letters to the editor columns are just like vanilla, white, oh, what a wonderful magazine you have, and it's so great. Other magazines, once in a while, they're saying, you lousy rats, you did that ugly, I'm never going to read your magazine again. Any magazine that publishes that kind of a letter, I say, man, I'm going to keep reading that magazine. And I think that's a reflection, a little bit of the philosophy behind a somewhat detached board of publication. Watchdogs over the operation to see that we are allowing diversity, even if it insults somebody or criticizes somebody who's very important, and even if it's somebody that we love dearly and think is being wrong. I think it's very important that there's somebody that's a little bit separated that can say, hey, wait a minute, you know, we got to keep in the diversity, we got to be fair-minded on these things. Thanks.
This is Mike Duke. If later on this year, or within the next year or so, the ongoing project of history of the American Council of the Blind and the blindness movement will be published. And if you read that publication when it arrives, you will very well understand why we have a Board of Publications and why our primary responsibility is to be a guardian of freedom of the press.
Thank you, Mike. Well, we have two people standing here, and these are going to be the final two questions because we're going to wrap up our candidates forum portion, a BOP portion. So our first question, who are you?
Jeff Fry. This has to do with the previous question, sort of. I am a member of both the National Federation of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind, and I have noticed attacks on the NFB in this convention. I have also noticed in NFB conventions attacks on the ACB. Now, I wonder, what are you who are on the Board of Publications now, and those of you who are candidates, going to do about this? Because I don't appreciate what I have seen in this convention.
Well, I would say, just as the moderator here, that the attacks to come from that monitor aren't exactly mild. Having said that, let's see what the candidates think about this question.
This is Mike Duke again. To attack an organization really doesn't accomplish a whole lot. To differ with the position of an organization is, again, part of the purpose of the mouthpiece of the organization. In our case, the Braille Forum. In their case, the Braille Monitor. The Braille Forum is responsible for defending our position on issues, and in doing so, will point out weaknesses in their position. But to simply say my dog's better than your dog is, you know, a waste of paper.
Ken Stewart, I think that's an excellent question, Jeff. And if the choice is between suffering the unpleasantness of witnessing attacks, particularly, I'd say, if it's in a publication and words it can put aside and go and get cooled off and come back, or squelching them, I'll vote every time in favor of publishing the attacks. And I think that's partly because I have a lot of faith in the audience. I think the audiences are sophisticated enough to discern what's a real reasoned counter argument or diverse viewpoint, and what's just somebody coming off the wall. And I think as long as we have that faith, it's okay for us to have some attacks aired in the publications. And I think the more that happens, the more educated the audience gets. So I have a lot of faith in a informed, in a sense, it's informed consumers. So, I, as I say, if the choice comes between squelching and suffering, I will vote for suffering the attack.
Disagreement has some fascinating elements. One thing, it keeps people pretty interested in what's going on. But I also think we should recognize the very real differences that there are between the two organizations and be glad that people have the choice. The National Federation thinks that people strictly on platforms and the pedestrian signals and all these kinds of things, that those things that we do say to sighted people, these are blind people who don't need very much, who need a lot of extra help, and so we're going to give it to them. The American Council and the NFE thinks that's a detriment in employment. The American Council thinks that these things make it possible for us to play, be on a more level playing field with the sighted public, and therefore to get jobs more readily, to travel more easily, and so forth. Same thing is true about the inner workings of the two organizations. American Council is absolutely bent on democracy. We are doing it 24 hours a day. And the National Federation has a president just about for life. We think that democracy, although it's a lot of trouble, sometimes kind of messy, it's the way we want to be. A dictatorship works real, you know, well. You can get an awful lot done in a short amount of time, and you don't waste a lot of time discussing things. But it's still a dictatorship. It's not a democracy.
Thank you, Winifred. And our final question for the BOP candidates this evening comes from, who are you?
I'm Darian Hartman, Portland, Oregon. I'd like to know what you do or will do about encouraging new writers to submit to the publications, and how you would encourage upcoming writers to get involved in the Board of Publications or cultivate them for the Board of Publications.
You have a kind of a multiple question. You're getting them to write for it, and also getting them involved in wanting to serve on the BOP. Ken?
Yeah, two things occurred to me immediately. One is for all of us that are involved with the publication, again, as I said earlier, to be aware of what's going on in the rest of the field. There are plenty of other places where writers that are, you know, aspiring writers or just getting started, and to spot them and say, hey, you know, that was pretty good. Would you write something for us? In other words, to reach out to aspiring writers. And the other part of it is that I think that it's nice when you have the luxury, and I guess it's a luxury sometimes when you're pressed with deadlines and so forth and other duties from your bosses, to actually be able to do some editing. So if you get an article that shows potential, but you can't print it the way it is, to actually, you know, spend some time, send back corrections, suggestions, and work with writers to bring them along. I know that's helped me a great deal in my writing career.
Thank you, Ken. Let's see if anyone else wants to answer that question. Yeah, it looks like Mike's getting up.
This is Mike again, and Ken is right. We are always looking for new writers, new material. We have a wonderful editor who will guide you, and if you submit the framework of an idea, we'll help you with it. Any of us, I think, the Board of Publications is committed to also helping anybody that comes to us and says, here's an idea, what do I do with it? I know I certainly am, because other people have helped me with that. That's how I got the Board of Publications in the first place.
Winifred?
The Board of Publications has two specific things that it does to encourage new writers. Every couple of years, we used to have an editor's workshop or a writer's workshop, and we would discuss the kinds of things that help an editor to proceed. Also, in seeking nominations for the Freeman Award, we urge state affiliates and special interest affiliates to send from their newsletters articles that have been submitted by their people in, you know, those local areas. And we will choose the Freeman Award from one of those articles if it shows originality of thought and some promise of writing. So we are aware of the needs of young writers and certainly want to encourage them.
Thank you, Winifred. Well, you've heard the candidates. In summary, this evening I want to say that there are three slots to fill, and there are four candidates. There are three slots that came to us from the nominating committee, and one person who is running, who will be nominated tomorrow, we've been told, nominated from the floor. That would be Ken Stewart. The three nominees from the nominating committee, just to summarize again, were Linda Braithwaite, Mike Duke, and Winifred Downing. So, ladies and gentlemen, those are your candidates for this year's elections that will be held tomorrow. Here they are. Congratulations, all of you. And to all of you listening on ACB Radio, if you just tuned in a few minutes ago, you are listening live to the Candidates Forum being held at the 41st Annual ACB Convention. We're in Houston, Texas, and we're here in the Grand Ballroom with a bunch of people who are here to hear the candidates. And now we're moving on to the candidates for the Board of Directors. There were five slots, and we have more people than five people getting up here, so are some people who are declaring to run and get themselves nominated on the floor tomorrow. I'm going to read to you the candidates that came to us from the nominating committee, that were presented by a nominating committee chairman on Monday night, Oral Miller, and Tuesday morning when we opened the session. Maybe some of you were listening to ACB Radio, maybe many of you were here at that time. We introduced those names. That was Alan Beatty, Brian Charlson, Pat Sheehan, Billie Jean Keith, and Sandy Sanderson, declaring their candidacy and hopefully and will be nominated from the floor tomorrow, are Ralph Sanders and Carla Rushable. So we have seven candidates. And here's the way we're going to do this. We're going to give each one of them 2 minutes for an opening statement. And the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to just go down the row as I just read them and have each one of them give us a 2 minute statement. Then I have a couple of questions. And since we are scheduled to go till 9:30, or 9 o'clock, it's an hour and a half, isn't it? We're scheduled to go till 9. We'll see how questions go from the audience. So without any further ado then, for a 2 minute opening statement, here's Mr. Alan Beatty.
Thank you, Jay. Good evening, everyone. Alan Beatty is my name. I hail from Fort Collins, Colorado, which is the midwestern part of our country. My background is currently with ACB. I'm former president of the American Council of Blind of Colorado. I'm currently the president of the American Council of Blind Lions, and currently serve on the board of directors for ACB. Many of you realize that I have had that term last year in Des Moines, when I came down with a heart attack and was laid up for about 8 months of that term. I struggled to make Des Moines, but I made it, clawing and scraping and singing, by the way. But made it, and I fully recovered from that attack and made the decision to come back for another term on the board because I had several agenda items that I originally went on the board looking to work on and just was laid up for about 8 or 10 months. My background is in big business. I've lost sight about 12 years ago, and I'm a low partial. Prior to this, I was a vice president of operations for Libby Owens Ford Glass Company out of Toledo, Ohio, and I served many companies as president, vice president in the optical manufacturing and design and development. So my basic background is physics, mathematics, and business. I was encouraged to get onto the board of directors because of my business background. And quite honestly, I didn't achieve everything that I had wanted to do. My basic goals is to help ACB build more qualified business strategy in terms of their future and also assist in their fundraising operation. And I've got lots of good ideas, and I hope to get back to work on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. I must say that you remember maybe a year or two ago when Pat Beattie was running against Alan Beattie, and I got all that mixed up. We had a good time with that night, and everybody good-naturedly, so tonight I did it again. Alan Beattie, thanks. Let's move on, and our next candidate next to Alan is Brian Charlson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I stand before you this evening as a candidate for the American Council of the Blind Board of Directors. These are four-year terms that we're all coming before you asking for your vote to support us on. So let's talk about what the next 4 years might have to offer and what our skills here at the front have to offer to the ACB National Board. I've served on the board in a variety of different capacities over the years. Most importantly, I served as treasurer of this organization for 6 years. During those 6 years, we had quite a bit of a financial turnaround. We began first with a $1 million debt, a debt that we funded through the kind support of our affiliates who loaned us money unsecured by any assets. By the time those 6 years were over, we turned from a $1 million debt to a $500,000 board designated reserve, having paid back every one of those kind affiliates and their financial and future trust in the American Council of the Blind. I also served for 6 years as vice president, first vice president of the American Council of the Blind. And during that time, I was very much involved in the selection of individuals to serve on committees, making sure that they came from both large and small affiliates, from state and special interest affiliates, putting in an important mix of new blood and new faces on each of those committees to assure that our committee structure was also a structure that allowed for us to develop leadership for tomorrow. Tomorrow is a very important time to me, because tomorrow is when we can begin making changes in the ACB that can help strengthen us. We've been spending a lot of our time and effort into looking outward, and I think it's time for us to look inward and hope in my next presentation to give you some of an outline of what that might be. Thank you very much.
Brian Charlson. Our next candidate is Pat Sheehan.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pat Sheehan, and this is my first foray into politics. I'm running for position on the board of directors based on my record in the state of Maryland, and it is my hope that I can serve the membership in an effective and productive way. The three things that I'm interested in doing for the membership and the affiliates are service to the affiliates, accountability, and instilling some passion back to the state and the local level. I would like to be able to reach out to the affiliates to make sure that what I have done in the state of Maryland can transcend and make the affiliates stronger and more productive. I've done a lot of work in the state of Maryland, working in the areas of transportation, environmental access, information access, and it is my hope that I can make the affiliates look good. If I can make it look good, then I think that I've done my job, and I want to be held accountable for reaching out to the affiliates and making sure that what your issues are become what my issues are, so that I can keep the communication between the affiliates, the local members, and the board of directors and the president and its officers effective, so that we can solve your problems and make you more productive. During the rest of the evening, I would like to go through the areas that I have worked in: transportation, environmental access, information access, and I'm asking for your vote tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat Sheehan. Our next candidate is Billie Jean Keith. Billie Jean?
Thank you very much, Jay. My name is Billie Jean Keith. I live in Arlington, Virginia, but my home state is Mississippi, and that's where I became active at working for ACB. I have done a lot of volunteer things, but I served as the president for the Mississippi affiliate for 2 terms and then as secretary for 2 terms, and we have time limitations there. So that was my Mississippi, but also at the same time I was elected to the Board of Publications and then appointed as its chair and served there for 10 years. My volunteer job right now is I write the here and there column for the Braille Forum, and this is a volunteer job and a labor of love, I have to say. I also, like Winifred and somebody else here, I was a recipient of the Nettie Freeman Excellence in Writing Award, and I'm the one when Vernon Freeman was killed in a fire, we came up with the Vernon Freeman Media Award. Vernon Henley, correct. When I was working on the Board of Publications as its chair, we started the Candidates Forum, and I think it's escalated. I'm so glad to see that people who may not know a lot of the people who work in ACB get a chance to hear us and decide who they'd like to elect as their candidate. I live in Arlington, and I serve as president of our local chapter. And this is the first time I have run actively for the board, and I hope that I can have support from people who like to have a diversity. I suppose I could say I'm diverse. Thank you.
Thank you, Billie Jean. And the final candidate that was on the slate brought forth by the nominating committee is Sandy Sanderson. Sandy?
Thank you. I am Sandy Sanderson. I am an immigrant. I come from the great state of Alaska. I am a lifetime member. I have received the Durward Daniels Ambassador Award, so I guess it means I've done something, whatever that means. I was chair of the Resource Development Committee for the last year, a program that was started some 2 or 3 years ago. We took that program and made it into a program that is going to move money for us for many years to come. We didn't try to make a lot of money this last year, but we tried to establish programs that will go on and on and on, the same as our thrift store program. That is what I've done. I'll let the facts speak for themselves, and thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Now, there are 2 candidates who are going to be nominated from the floor tomorrow, they tell us. First of those 2 candidates is Ralph Sanders. Ralph?
Thank you, Jay, and good evening. What a wonderful evening it is, and what a wonderful convention. I wish that all those people out listening to us over ACB Radio could be here in Louisville to share. With us in Houston to share the great joys of the convention work and the convention efforts. Sorry about that. I've been walking so much yesterday and today. I guess I thought I'd walked back to Louisville. The Houston convention has really been a lot of fun. Let me say to you, for those who don't know my background, I grew up originally in Arkansas. raised on a cotton farm and went to the Arkansas School for the Blind. Went from the School for the Blind to get a bachelor's degree from Cal State Northridge in California and a master's degree from Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. Went back to Little Rock, where I worked as a press secretary to Governor Rockefeller of Arkansas, then was a partner in my own advertising agency for 5 years, and then I moved to Baltimore, Maryland, where I currently live. I currently work as a consultant specializing in advocacy, primarily on Social Security matters for people who are blind or disabled, although we also do a lot of work on behalf of retirees. We also do a lot of advocacy work involving other federal programs such as vocational rehabilitation, particularly the Randolph-Shepard Act and IDEA. I have been active in the Maryland affiliate for some time. I served several terms as secretary of the American Council of the Blind of Maryland, and I was pleased to serve several terms as legislative chair. I've been pleased to be chairman of the Public Relations Committee and the success that we've had at this convention, and I've been proud to be a member of the Resource Development Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ralph. And our final declared candidate, someone who's hopefully wants to be nominated from the floor tomorrow, is Carla Rushable. Carla?
Thank you, Jay. I've come from Louisville, Kentucky, and I have served for many, many years in the Kentucky Council of the Blind. I have been president, first vice president, and I currently serve as treasurer of the organization. I'm the editor of the newsletter, the moderator of the mailing list, the email list, and also I coordinate our talking newspaper service. In a capacity of helping to grow ACB membership in Kentucky, I'm pleased to report that we submitted the largest number of members that we've ever had this year to ACB. And in addition, we have just formed a new chapter of the Guide Dog Users in Kentucky, and we look forward to great things from GDUKY. In a national capacity, I served for 8 years on the ACB Board of Directors as chairman of the ACB Credentials Committee and also for 5 years as convention coordinator. I currently am the site selection coordinator for ACB on the convention committee, and I have enjoyed working in that capacity. ACB is a wonderful organization. There's space in this organization, space for everybody, all walks of life, people from everywhere, all states, all capacities. And as a person who has a background in education, I am particularly concerned that there be room in this organization for everyone, regardless of background, employment, interest, skills. And as a board member, I found in my previous 2 terms, and I believe that in the future it will be true, that the board must be willing to make decisions and follow paths that will help all blind people, not just those in this organization, but blind people everywhere. ACB is a great organization, and the board must make tough decisions to keep us great. I ask for your support tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Well, you've heard the candidates. Now it's time for questions. And if you have a question from the audience, will you please come out to the end of the row? And to stand at the end of the aisle, and I'll come to you in just a few moments. I'm going to open with a question, give a couple of our people in the audience a chance to think of what they want to ask and come out there. The question I have that was submitted to the press room, based on your past experience at your job or as a volunteer, what do you believe is your greatest asset that you bring to the ACB board? And what I'm going to do this time is sort of skip around. Who's got the microphone at the moment? Carla does. All right. I'm going to just sort of start at Pat. And we'll do it. You have the question, Pat?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Here's Pat Sheehan for a one-minute answer.
Thank you very much. I think the areas that I bring, the areas that I have the greatest talent in that I could bring to the board are access to transportation issues. In the Washington, Maryland area, I have worked as a transportation chair for a transportation
Transportation Access Committee, was able to get the tactile warning systems within the Washington metropolitan area and can bring that type of expertise to the board of directors. But also I'd like to take my ability to work with transportation, paratransit, accessible buses to the affiliates to help them to solve their transportation issues, because we don't have that type of expertise on the board right now, and I would like to offer that to the state and the local level. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. I think we'll hand this on to, they don't know who I'm going to give it to, so it'll be sort of a quick response. Sandy? This is Sandy Sanderson.
Thank you very much, Jay. I believe I bring two things to this organization: my ability to create membership. We are the second or third smallest affiliated state in this country, even though we're the largest, way bigger than Texas is by over twice as big. We come to you in the top nine state affiliates in this country with 19 votes. Also, I bring to you my ability. I've always been one of the top fundraisers in the ACB. Finally got utilized this last year, and we've created something great, and I'll continue to do that. I can bring that to you, and I'll help any affiliate that wants to build membership. I know how to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Next, we'll hear from Alan Beatty.
Thank you, Jay. I think my response on that initial question was my business background. Again, I'm vice president and was just vice president of Olivia Owens Ford. Was responsible for multi-million dollar operations and many thousand people reporting to me. So upper management skills are my greatest asset. I also have a strong marketing background, and I'm very sensitive to that. And I think ACB has a strong market position in this country for servicing the blind needs of this community, and we need to do more marketing. And I would be happy, very happy, to get involved in that and just make sure that the whole world knows about us and understands our democratic process. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. We'll go down here and give this microphone to Carla Rushable.
Thanks, Jay. I think that one of my biggest assets is energy. I love projects, and I seem to regard sleeping as a waste of time. And there's always room for another project. There's always room for another challenge. And, you know, they say that if you want to get a job done, give it to a busy person. Well, I seem to fit that bill. And I really enjoy volunteering in many, many different capacities. Also, coming from an affiliate and a state that has a large number of elderly people, a large number of people who are not quite as fortunate as many others, I think I understand the needs of those individuals. We have been successful when there others said it couldn't be done, and ACB can serve all people everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. You can hand that microphone to Ralph Sanders.
Thank you, Jay. I was going to say that geography is not it, probably, right? I think that the main strength that I bring from the years of experience that I've had in working in organizations and working in private work is the recognition that if you want to succeed, you work the solutions, you don't work the problems. Everybody here can identify problems, and everybody here can go and complain about problems. What you need in leadership and what you need on a board of directors are people who are resolution-oriented, who recognize resolutions to problems, and who work those resolutions, because that provides you with positive outcomes. My other strength, I think, that's particularly valuable here is my background in communications, because that enables me to help facilitate solutions when there's conflict within the group, so that it can begin again be result oriented. And if elected to the board with your support tomorrow, I will be dedicated to seeing us make continuing improvement to the ACB. Thank you.
And finally, Brian Charleston. Oh, and I'm sorry, and Billie Jean. We'll go to Brian. Thanks, Billie Jean.
I'm not Billie Jean.
This is Brian.
This is Brian Charlson. What I bring to the board is a knowledge of adaptive technology and the part that it can play in the lives of young people, of people searching for work, of the working men and women of this country, as well as of elders. I work as first vice president or general vice president of the Carroll Center for the Blind outside of Boston, Massachusetts, where I've assisted in the training of many hundreds of blind people in the use of this technology. I've served ACB in capacities working as a consultant with Microsoft, with Sun Microsystems, with IBM, and all of the different access vendors. In short, technology plays a part in all of our lives these days, and that's the number one skill that I can bring to the board. Thank you.
Now, for certain, here's Billie Jean Key.
Thank you very much, Jay. I think the thing that I might be able to contribute to ACB is a passion for advocacy on behalf of people who are blind or visually impaired. Up until about 2 years ago, I worked for the Presidential Commission, the National Council on Disability, that actually did write the Americans with Disabilities Act, even though most federal agencies seem to think they were the authors, and most congressmen also think they're the authors. And if you live around in the Washington, D.C. area, nobody pats their backs so much as Congress people. And in our local chapter, we have a listserv. It's not a listserv. It's one that you can send out message, distribution list, that we can, within about a day, muster 10 to 15 people to go to a hearing to let them know that blind people have an interest in what it is they're deciding on, like FCC. Thank you.
She mentioned pack your bags. I just can't help it. Maybe we could send about 500 luggage tags down there to Washington, and all of you guys can be taken around and sell them to those Congress people that pack their bags so much. There we go. That'll be a good idea. As all of you are listening on ACB Radio are wondering what we're talking about the luggage tags that they're selling, that ACB is selling as a fundraising idea. All right, we have a bunch of questions here, and Alan, the microphone is on the table behind you. If you'll give it to the first candidate I call for, I'd appreciate it. Alan Beatty? Or Beatty? No, Beatty. Okay, I think I see this person was standing up first, and so toward the back of the room, I think I recognize this young man, so he's going to have the first question for our candidates from the audience.
Thank you very much, Jay. Dr. Ed Bradley here from Houston, Texas. Visibility. I would like to know what you would see as your job or your way of making yourself more visible to the people here at the convention in the future. Thank you.
And Alan, since I asked you to pick up the microphone, you might as well take that first.
I would be glad to, and from a good lion like Ed Bradley, I would happily do it. Visibility is one of the prime things that I'm pushing for. We as an organization and as individuals need to be more obvious to the society we live in. We tend to close ourselves into these wonderful meetings and never really get out of the outer world and be seen and be recognized. My work with the Lions has started to help in that area. Again, I'm encouraging all blind folks to find a Lions Club, to become a member, to help educate, to be visible. And so the more we get out, the more we can be recognized as true individuals that are working in our society, in our community, and helping community grow. I'll turn over to whoever.
I thank you, and we'll move right over here and ask Pat Sheehan to answer that question.
Thank you very much. I think what I would like to do would be to connect with the affiliates, connect with the people at the local level to find out what their issues are and what their problems are, to work their problems and their issues so that the affiliates and the local chapters throughout ACB nationwide can become great. Some of the things that we've been able to do in Maryland have been good, but if we leave some of the solutions that I have been able to achieve in Maryland just in Maryland, then they really haven't gone very far. So I think that the best thing that we can do is to get out there, contact the affiliates, contact the people at the local levels, take their problems and work their problems so that their solutions can work in their own environments, in their own states, and that then those individuals can take pride in having worked a problem and found a solution. Thank you.
All right, Pat. We'll move right over here to Sandy Sanderson.
Thank you, sir. Visibility. I believe that we, all of us, if we're going to be in a role of leadership, need to get television, on radio, and tell our stories and keep telling our stories over and over and over. Visibility. If you want to have anything happen in your state, you better get to your state legislature. You better become well known. You better be visible there. I happen to be just exactly that. People ask me when I'm in the, down in Juneau working the halls of the legislature, don't you ever sleep? I tell them, I don't have time. Do you sleep? Sometimes. But I said, well, if you sleep, I'm not going to, because I'm going to do first. Then when I go to Washington, D.C., I am very well known. I've been known for many years there, especially by our state representatives and senators. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Just for those of you that tuned in on ACB Radio, might have come in late, we're giving the candidates one-minute answers, and we're giving them a 15-second warning. And our timer this evening is Paul Edwards. The next person to answer that question is Ralph Sanders.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Doc Bradley, the best way to get visibility, if you really mean visibility, is bring a convention to Houston where you've got a local chapter that's done its groundwork and get great media response. But I think you really meant how would we go about getting visibility with the membership on the floor. And I think the way you do that as a board member, as a leader at any level, as a committee chair, with anybody who is involved enough in this organization to presume to make a difference in how we positively impact the lives of blind people, is to get out get out and talk to people. Listen to the membership. This organization doesn't belong to the board of directors. It doesn't belong to the committee structure. It doesn't belong to the leadership. It belongs to you and me, the membership. And as, if we ever forget that, we'll lose contact. Thank you.
All right, Ralph. Would you pass the mic over to Billie Jean Keith, please?
Thank you. My understanding of the question was visibility at the convention, something that I usually do. I did not do it this year, so I have to do Girl Scout honor. But I always go to the first-timers meeting. I think it is so important to hear the names because they go around. And say, these are people who are coming to ACB, and you get to hear those names, and then if you meet them later, you can you have something to talk to them about and ask them about questions. And also volunteering. I've served on the information desk for several years, and you get to really meet people. And I'm a talker, and it's a wonderful way to just interact with all kinds of people. And I think those are the two main ways. Thank you.
All right, and let's pass that on to Brian Charleston, please. Billie Jean?
Visibility, as I was reminded earlier today during the campaign trail, is more than being just here at the ACB convention. Excuse me as I lose my voice. It also means getting out and seeing our affiliates where they do their business. Over the course of the past 12 years, I've had an opportunity to get out and see many of our affiliates, from Florida to Oregon, California, out to Hawaii and back again. Seeing how our affiliates do their business is a great way for them to get an opportunity to share with me and with the board what their problems are and give us solutions to solving those problems. I've also, in walking around the convention hotel here this year and in past years, I'm lucky enough to be a guide dog user. And if you ever see me with an empty elbow, it's because I haven't offered that moment to guide somebody where they need to go. It doesn't matter who they are. They need our help, and we need to help one another. Thank you.
And the person to answer this question finally is Carla Rushable.
Thanks, Jay. I think visibility within and without the organization is very, very important. But, you know, we can't really have good visibility outside the organization if we don't start within.
The board of this organization is not the ACB royalty. It is representatives of the people. And as such, it is imperative that the board not only be at receptions or be at those fun things, but be out there helping in all kinds of capacities, all kinds of ways, helping with the convention, helping in at the information desk or in other capacities, and being at different meetings and sessions, making it an important thing to go to those sessions and not just to be there because somebody says you need to or you feel like you have to, but be an important part of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carla, very much. Just hold on to that microphone, and I'll tell you where to send it in a minute. I'm in the back of the room with another person who has a question. We will, just for all the audience here, we will take the four people that are standing, and that's going to be the way we'll wrap this up this evening. So we have four people standing, and we'll take their questions in the order that I noticed they stood up. This man's been standing here for a while. What is your name?
Jim Swartz.
Okay, Jim, what's your question?
I was a state director for and am currently a vendor in the Randolph Shepherd vending program. And my question is a two-part question is, what have you done in the past and what are you currently doing to ensure the successfulness of this program?
All right, let's see. Would you pass that over to Sandy Sanderson, please?
Thank you very much. I'd love to answer that question. I've never been a vendor, but I can tell you that I've been standing beside the vendors for many, many years. 1985, I went and got, after 16 months of work, I got our state senator, Senator Ted Stevens, to have an oversight hearing on the 74 amendments to the Randolph-Shepherd Act. We put the teeth in the cafeterias for our blind vendors. Yes? What else? In Alaska right today, the state of Alaska messed over our vending program and tried to take away the largest cafeteria in the state, new state building they bought. What are we doing? We're suing them suckers. That's what we're doing. And we're going to continue to do it until those people straighten up their act and treat our vendors like they're supposed to be treated. Thank you.
My next first speaker is Billie Jean Keith.
Well, some of my very best friends in the world are vendors, and I graduated with people who've turned out to be vendors, and it's a wonderful occupation for a blind person who wants to own his own business. But what concerns me about the vending program is that some states treat it with respect and do allow the vendors to run their own program, and the BEP program, and then some states just treat them like stepchildren. So I would love to see some evenness of treatment, and that has to come from RSA. And we heard from Joanne Wilson on last Sunday night, yes. And I'd love to see some of the teeth get back into the BEP program. Thank you.
Thank you, Billie Jean. Will you pass that microphone to Ralph Sanders, please?
Thank you, Jay. It's been my pleasure this week to serve as Resolutions Chairman for Randolph-Shepherd Vendors of America. It has been my pleasure over the last couple of decades to work with vendors on behalf of vendors in virtually every program in the United States, with the little exception of Puerto Rico and maybe Guam. I have last year successfully won two arbitrations, one in Ohio against the post office in Cleveland and one in Oregon against the Oregon Commission for the Blind. And I am most proud of the work of the American Council of the Blind in joining the Randolph-Shepherd vendors and winning the Nish lawsuit in Virginia that many of you will be familiar with. And we are now championing with the concurrence of the leadership, the Access Committee, the Randolph-Shepherd Vendors of America, and NELS, the lawsuit on behalf of the Roadside or Surface Transportation Act rights of the Kennelly Amendments on behalf of blind people in New Hampshire. The ACB has proven where its heart is in terms of supporting the Randolph-Shepherd program. Unlike Joanne Wilson, we have demonstrated what we intend to do about it. Thank you.
off, will you please hand that microphone to Carla Rushable, please?
I am really glad to have an opportunity to speak to this question. My father was a vendor. My aunt was a vendor. I worked as a vendor for several years, and my son-in-law is currently a vendor. The vending program is absolutely essential to the blind of this country. Nothing irritates me more than for someone, and a lot of people do it these days, to imply that vending is just peanut peddling and candy selling. There is nothing further from the truth. Vending is one of the best business opportunities for blind people, and we must support the not only the continuation, but the growth of that program for the success of many blind people in this country.
Our next candidate to speak is Pat Sheehan.
Thank you very much. I think a lot of my information that I have on the vending program, I'm not very much up to date on all the issues with respect to the vending program. As far as dealing with the people, with the individuals and their employment opportunities, I would want to go out and find out the information that they would need to be able to advocate on their behalf. I would go in and I would seek the experts in this field, the experts within ACB who know the subject matter and can get the information that I need to advocate for individuals effectively. I don't, in areas such as the vending program that I haven't had experience in, I would want to get more information with respect to those programs before giving information to the people, but I would respect their employment and I would push as hard as possible to make their vending program a success and for them to be a success also.
Thank you, Pat. Pat, will you please hand that mic to Brian Charlson?
Probably the hardest year of my life was the year I spent as a vendor. I was a vendor at the Oregon State Agriculture Building, and I worked those 50, 60-hour work weeks that it takes to be a vendor, and found that Uncle Sam made a great deal more money that year than I did. Sound familiar? Now that I'm in a position to create programs to help vendors, I've convinced the organization I work for, the Carroll Center for the Blind, in the spring to begin a business enterprise training program to train vendors to effectively utilize computer technology to manage their businesses. I remember how painful it was to pay somebody else to do my books, to do the paperwork that I did not have ACT technology to accomplish for myself. And I want to assure that that process will not be the same in the future. Every dime you keep in your pocket by your labors is money that you can help support your family with, and I commit to you that we'll continue to do that activity. Thank you.
And on the vending question, finally, here's candidate Alan Beatty.
Thank you, Jay. For this background, I have great sensitivity to the business programs that the vendors are dealing with. When I went through rehabilitation, the business enterprise was running at the same time next to our rehabilitation center. I had a wonderful experience to just join in many times to understand the program and to see how it was organized. Of course, being a critical for-profit manager, I was a little bit toughened out, if you will, with some of the procedures they have to jump through. But nonetheless, I think it's a wonderful program. I do see a little bit of lack of support of the vending program in terms of management, in terms of financial support. And every time I come to convention and have a chance to be with the RSVA, I always try to get close to them and get the updates on how their businesses are running. I have a good understanding, but I'm certainly far from being an expert at the vending RSVA-type operations. Thank you.
All right, I'm back in the audience again, and we have three questioners remaining, and I'm standing next to the next person who's going to ask the question for the candidate that I'll name after the question.
I'm Darian Hartman again. I'd like to know what you will do to help members get involved and cultivate their leadership skills so that they can become involved like you are.
All right. We'll move the microphone over to Pat Sheehan to talk about that one first. Pat?
Great. Thank you. I think what I would like to do to try to encourage people to advocate for themselves is to use areas of expertise that I have developed. In the state of Maryland, I've worked in the area of voting access, environmental access, and transportation access, and information access. Those are three or four areas that I have areas of expertise in. I would like to be able to reach out to the affiliates and the people at the local level to be able to share what I have done, what I have figured out, what has worked, let's say, in the state of Maryland, pass that along so that people have to recreate the wheel and come up with their own solutions. I think that it's important for us to be able to share this between the board of directors, the affiliates, and people at large so that we can all come to a...
Thank you, Pat. The person to answer that question next will be Carla Rushable.
I knew it'd be my turn early one of these times, and here it is. I think that getting people involved is a two-way street. Oftentimes people call me at home, and I get calls almost every day. I don't know why you don't do this, or I don't know why you all don't do that. You know, it's a we process. And when we get to the point that it's we and let's do it together, then that not only gets the job done, but it gets people involved, more people involved. And so it needs to be a two-way street. We need to listen to people's needs, but we also need to listen to what they are telling us about what they can do to assist, and then get them involved with us. And that is how you develop leaders in the future. We weren't just born sitting up here answering questions. Here we are because somebody gave us a chance, and we need to give others the same chance.
Thank you, Carla. Go down here and hand the microphone to Brian Charlson.
We're getting our exercise up here, by the way. For the radio audience, we're sitting down, we stand up to speak, and sit back down again.
This is called Candidates Aerobics.
There you go. I joined this organization back when I was a youngster. I came out and I joined up with an organization called the National Alliance of Blind Students. That's a wonderful classroom for leadership there. I also was very much involved in the creation and filling out of the different committees, making sure that we had a good cross-section of people from around the country, giving at least one-third of the committee members new chance at developing their leadership skills by serving ACB in a leadership capacity in those committees. We also, however, have to bring back those leadership seminars. The one that I attended down in California, great one that we held up in Washington State, down in Connecticut. We need to revive those leadership seminars and give the skills back to the people. Thank you.
Brian, will you hand the microphone to Alan Beatty, please?
Thank you, Jay. I'm happy to ask this question because in developing leaders, you have to assign folks the chance. You have to give them a chance to lead, to carry out projects, to have the responsibility and the accountability. I think each and every one of us have that inbuilt ability to do those things if somebody would only give us the chance. The way to build leaders is to assign, give people the acknowledgments that they have a project, and it's their project, and here's the money you need to do it. Turn them loose and let them run. Because you know what? They'll find the fastest, cheapest, most efficient way to achieve that project. Leaders can be developed, and we need to stimulate those leaders, give them that chance, and turn them loose and acknowledge it when they achieve it. Thank you.
Now here's Ralph Sanders.
Jay is a great enthusiast for exercise programs among adult blind people, and I finally dawned on me halfway into this that that's exactly what he'd arranged this evening. Jay, let's go back to the big table, you know? This question I wish I had 5 minutes to talk about, because outside of working on communicating our message through media, I think this is one of our biggest issues that we need to address. The greatest resource that we have, which is a true treasure, is the talent in our membership across this great country that we need to utilize better. I strongly advocating that we adopt a program of using a team approach on a regional basis for membership development and enhancement. We've got the talent in areas in neighboring states. Let's use the people closest at hand to build it in states next door, and then we can multiply it throughout the nation. I really think it's a critical issue we need to address. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Let's go next to Billie Jean Keith.
Thank you. As I understand the question, it was from Darian, that she wanted to know how people could get involved in leadership. And I think, as the former Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, said, all politics is local, and you've got to get involved in your local chapters and state affiliate. The first job I had in my state affiliate in Mississippi was doing door prizes for the state convention. And 6 months later, I was elected president. I guess they got tired of hearing me talk and talk, and they thought, well, presidents also have to delegate, but local, do something, volunteer to do something in your state affiliate. And I think that's how you become involved in leadership, and then you become more and more interested. You read the Braille Forum, because there's all kinds of things that come through there. You try to get on, take part in the listservs, and I know a lot of people don't use computers, but thank you.
Now, if I'm not too mixed up, the two people left are Pat and Sandy, right? Sandy, would you please answer this question?
I had to steal some of my thunder from the thunder from Brian and from Ralph. I'm a firm believer in having leadership meetings in our various regions around the country. I don't want to see it come from our national office. It doesn't necessarily have to come from our board of directors or officers. Those are people who are elected. Does not mean they're true leaders. Pardon me, but it doesn't always do the job. What I'm saying to you is, we take our leadership from those regions we're going to be working in. Use them, because that's your true leaders, and from that will come bigger and better and greater leaders, and you'll really survive the bill of goods from there.
All right, Sandy. Pass the microphone down to Pat Sheehan, please.
Thank you very much. I think this is my second time answering this question. I must have done a bad job the first time.
Is that right? You did. He started it. Okay. He's an honest man. You've just tuned in to ACB Radio. This is still the Candidates Forum, and we're live in Houston, Texas. We had a person up for question. I'm going to go back here to that person. This will be the final question of the evening. And I recognize this guy. Hi. Yeah. You can introduce yourself.
Hello. This is Ray Campbell, President of the Illinois Council of the Blind. ACB has been at least partially responsible for helping to bring some great things to blind and visually impaired people across the country. Things like descriptive video, DVS theatrical, descriptive video on television, talking ATMs. But we've only put them, for the most part, in the big metropolitan areas, in the Bostons, in Los Angeles, in Chicago. Not all blind people live in the big cities. How would you work with the state affiliates to get some of these things into places like Springfield, Illinois, Fargo, North Dakota, and Madison, Wisconsin?
All right, and I found myself with both microphones, so this isn't going to work at all. So, moving right up to the front, I'm going to give this question to Billie Jean Keith.
I come from a very rural part of the world. In the town I grew up in, I don't think there was ever a cab in that city, but I think some of the ways that some of the more local regions and smaller towns have, they've developed a transportation system that helps get people to work. I remember when in Jackson we didn't have any way for any transportation at all, and you could not depend on taxis. And when they, the paratransit started, it opened a whole new world for everybody. So I think some of these, the Americans with Disabilities Act, I think, has about some of the changes that people who live in rural areas need. Living in a rural area is sometimes one of the most difficult things. I think somebody who's a non-driver or doesn't have access to getting to work has to overcome. So sometimes you got to move to the city, which is what I did.
I thank you, Billie Jean. Here's Brian Charlson.
Small town America is not an easy place to live. It's a great place to grow up in, but it's a pretty tough place to be an adult in. It's difficult to find employment. It's difficult to find transportation. It's difficult to get access to many of the things that ACB has fought for over the years, as our good friend Ray Campbell mentioned. We can break the barrier of information access to the rural areas through the use of such things as satellite connections to get the internet out to places that normally doesn't have it. We have visitors here from Canada. You know, we can learn something from our northern neighbors. They found a way to get information access to all parts of their vast country. They put computer terminals with access to them in community centers, in train stations. Remember the services that we're talking about to our rural citizens in the same fashion by doing a rural electrification type program, and ACB should take the forefront in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Ralph Sanders?
Ray Campbell, what a really great question, and what a difficult question. Obviously, we work better since we're organization-based and people-based, where we have more people. But, you know, we talk a lot about freedom of choice, meaning freedom of choice of jobs. Freedom of choice is another issue that's big these days among all Americans and where we live, and not always having transportation access or sidewalk access or ATS access in smaller towns, options that are denied to us, at least at a reasonable level. I think part of the solution is what Brian suggested. Certainly with internet technology, geography is not a complexity. We need to think up ways in which we can facilitate small chapters and rural states in being able to accomplish the things that we work on in large cities. And I don't admit I have a full answer. I'm willing to work the problem for a solution, but I don't have all the answers.
Thank you, Ralph. Now let's go to Carla Rushable. Carla?
Oh, I couldn't find the microphone. Ray, you are 100% correct. When you come from Hardshell, Rabbit Hash, Peter Creek, or Fountain Run, Kentucky, you may not even have a traffic light, let alone an audible signal. We need to teach advocacy skills to people so that they can work with us. It's that old we syndrome again, and it is absolutely essential. We cannot go out and do it for everybody, but with our help, everybody can do it for themselves. Thank you.
All right, Carla, would you pass that down to Sandy, please? Sandy Sanderson.
Thank you, Carla, and thank you, Ray. That's a good question. Now, I wouldn't have much knowledge on rural places or far-out places. You understand that, don't you? What have we done in Alaska? I'll tell you. We put together a descriptive video, a library, which goes out all over the state to all of our blind people. What else did we do? Before we were so rudely interrupted here in the last couple of months, we had our radio reading service was getting ready to go out over the internet, which could be picked up all over the state of Alaska. So yes, we know how to do it there, and that's what we were doing, and it does work.
All right, Sandy. Let's go to Alan Beatty. Beatty. Brother.
Here we go again.
I'm going to have one of them to change their name.
Pat, if you're in the audience, please come up and sit next to me. Thank you, Jay. I was hoping to get into this question because in Colorado, the four-state area, we're very remote and isolated. In Colorado, we've had the help of a Lions Club that went out into a rural community to start an ACB chapter. And they wanted to do it again. And they want to do it again. And in Wyoming, they're anxious to do the same thing. If you collaborate with other organizations that can assist you and provide the guidance, either transportation or anything else, you have a much better chance of success. Getting tellers to, getting banks to put in ATMs that are accessible, get acquainted with the banker. Get acquainted with the bank chain. Introduce yourself. Tell them your problems. And see if you can't develop some kind of relationships that allow them to advertise, to market what you're providing to them. It's a win-win situation for both. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And finally, if I have, is my head on straight? Yeah, here's Pat Sheehan.
Hi. Thanks. I think I'll just spend one time at the mic tonight. Video description, a great question. In the Silver Spring area, about a couple years ago, I decided we wanted to put a movie theater in with video description. Last week I heard that not only are we going to have one movie theater in, but we're going to have three in the Silver Spring area in Montgomery County. And basically what we ended up doing was working the problem. We knew what we wanted to do. We found out what equipment we needed. We contacted the people in Boston, at Boston Light and Sound, and we found out that the equipment that is needed can be bought by XYZ people. This is the kind of information that I want to be able to pass on to other individuals, other affiliates and states, people, so that they can also not recreate the wheel, but put this kind of access that we've developed, let's say in the state of Maryland and Washington, D.C., in their own affiliates. It's not difficult. It does take some time and a little bit of knowledge, but I'd like to be able to pass that on. Thank you very much.
Okay, as my calculations is that all the people up here answered that question, I want to say what a great pleasure it was to do this candidates forum this evening. I want to remind all of you who are in this room tonight that you should be wearing your badges tomorrow and be ready to vote for one of these candidates tomorrow when we have our vote. On behalf of the Board of Publications, I want to thank you all on ACB Radio for listening. And now here's Jonathan Mosen.
Thank you, everybody. Firstly, I think that we should remember that there is something significant about those people who choose to put themselves up for office. And I think we should give a round of applause to all of the candidates this evening who have turned up and spoke so well. And secondly, I say with some feeling that it is not easy to chair a forum like this and make sure that everyone's voice is heard and that there is balance and impartiality, and I think that Jay has done an outstanding job. I'll just conclude by saying that I know of no other organization of the blind in the world where its processes are so transparent. Tomorrow you will vote and the world will be listening, and I congratulate you all for coming out this evening to make sure that your vote is an informed one. And I think we should all conclude by giving a big hand to the American Council of the Blind for being the democratic voice of the blind of the United States. For ACB Radio listeners, as we close, a reminder that we will be back just after 8 a.m. tomorrow. We will be here pretty much all day with convention coverage, including the entertainment from the banquet, which, as well as Andy Potok speaking, will include The Weakest Blink, The Mind Literally Boggles. So we will look forward to that. And on behalf of all of us here, good night from Houston.